Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are entering a spooky season, so what better time to talk about our fears? If I'm being completely honest, failure is probably topping my own personal charts, to which you might be like, oof, Ben, just aim for where it hurts next time, why don't ya? But for me, the biggest issue is that fear of failure is so great that it often stops me from ever even trying something new in the first place. And therapy has been huge for this problem for me. Take running a marathon, for example. Hard enough to just do, but then I was setting standards for my pace and speed and what would constitute a victory as I crossed the finish line. And I talked to my therapist about this, and she suggested that I make it less about speed and more about just spending time with my friends, and it completely reframed my thought process. And the outcome was that I was getting months of training runs with my buddies on the weekend and a fun, long, adventurous weekend to Nashville, where we finally were able to check marathon off the old bucket list. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. Ben, how you doing this morning?
I am so tired.
Dude, I'm so tired. It has been a... I was trying to think about it last night, because we just got back from our West Coast tour with Through the Gryffindor.
We did. Which was truly amazing.
It was truly amazing. But I was like thinking about it. It was like the 4 days, we left on a Friday, and the 4 days leading up to that Friday were like four of the busiest days in Super Carlin Brothers history, just trying to get as many things shot and filmed and edited and posted and scheduled before we left.
Yes. And I was sick. During that week,
you were struggle bussing hard that week. It was a really like just heavy week of work. But then we got to that Friday and we took no breaks. We flew all the way to the West Coast. That was a full travel day. And then the very next day, Saturday, was a doubleheader show in Seattle.
Yes.
So yep. we were just, there was no breaks at all.
It was like, should we account for jet lag / we got to our rooms at like 2 o'clock that morning, woke up at like 7 the next day, and then worked for like 10 hours.
Yeah. So should we have? Maybe. Did we? No.
Nope.
The next day, I would say, will have been our one day off since that Monday.
Right.
That Monday, where we got to explore the city of Seattle, and it was truly a really good day.
Oh, yeah.
It was
totally like, lovely.
Yeah. We went to this amazing biscuit place down at Pike Place.
Honest Biscuits.
It was so good.
It was. Yeah. I mean, that was like one of those where like we're from South adjacent, like where the cuisine is from. And it was like, we're in the Northwest of America. And it's like, these are some darn good
biscuits.
These
are some good biscuits.
Yes.
And we're like sitting there, you know, out... just like observing the ocean on this like big
a Puget Sound is what we're observing.
Oh, the Puget Sound.
Puget Sound.
My bad. We're using the Puget Sound. And you can see the Seahawks Stadium off in the distance and the Space Needle and all that. And we went and walked around like the marketplace area. Some. We went to the Fish Mart. We saw the original Starbucks.
Yeah.
We didn't go in.
No. I mean, there was like a line really, really long. And I was like, I mean, it's cool that we saw it.
Yeah. I was like, but you know what? I've had Starbucks. So what did we do? The Shooters. Of like
oysters.
Yeah, we did like oyster shooters. That was really fun. And then we went to a Seahawks game, like just they were playing the Miami Dolphins. So like we're not particularly Seahawk or Dolphins fans, but in my experience, if you go to any professional sporting event, it's typically a pretty good time.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you're in a fun, upbeat, electric environment where people are all there for the sole purpose of having a good time. There's fun stadium food and drinks.
Yes.
And then not to mention like the Seattle stadium itself is known, like, so when, if you're ever watching football, there are 11 players for each side on the field. And
yeah.
Seattle is known for its 12th man, mm-hmm. which basically is the crowd. So for any opposing teams traveling to this particular stadium, like they are up against like this, like other opponent, which is the noise,
Yeah.
And
like the stadium, it was specifically constructed to keep in the noise.
Which it did.
And then on top of that, like the entire attitude of not just everyone there, but the people like working at the stadium and running the Jumbotron is to just mess with the opponents.
Yes.
Like they were trolling them the whole game.
I mean, it's so interesting because I think like, you know, almost all of our football going experiences are at Virginia Tech, which is like a collegiate level. And I think
yeah.
on some level there, because you're still dealing with like students, and it's like, on some level, academia should still be the overarching umbrella.
Yeah.
And, you know, good sportsmanship, which I mean, I don't think that anybody at any level of play is like anti good sportsmanship. However, at the professional level, the fact that you could just like troll the opponent on the Jumbotron, it was like, this is different.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was really funny. So they'd do things where they'd show like, you know, where's your favorite vacation spot? And they'd be like, Hawaii or the Bahamas? And people would cheer for one or the other. And they'd be like, where would you rather visit? Like California or New York? And people would cheer. And then they'd be like, Miami or Seattle? Or like, just like, they'd be like their stadium, you know?
Yes,
it
yeah.
would be like, which is the, you know, which is the better field? And like, they would just like cheer against them. If they, any penalty they got, they'd play like the backup, like the truck backing up sound.
Yeah.
Like yep. there was all sorts of just tiny little nuanced things like that. There's like this undercurrent of trolling the Dolphins the whole time.
Yes.
So like a lot of times, like if you go to like a Tech game, for example, like there's like, you know, oh, if the Hokies score 2 touchdowns, you know, you'll get like a free biscuit at Bojangles or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that like root for your team. And if they do good enough, they'll earn you something free. Well, this is like the Seattle twist on it, is that it's the opposite. You're not rooting for your team. You're not rooting for the Seahawks to do something. You're rooting for the Dolphins, for the away team to specifically fail at something.
Yes.
So it was the promotion was that if the Dolphins missed a field goal, you got a free 6-piece nuggets at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Which like, it's like, that sounds like, okay, sure, whatever. But it's like, that's the kind of thing where like the whole crowd is just like dying for the Dolphins to miss a field goal, which they did.
Yes.
And that was, it was like, it happened like the first few minutes of the game too. And it was just like, yes, you know, it was very fun.
It's like all the stuff you don't see when you're watching the game.
Yeah.
At home.
Exactly.
Like, because like when you're watching it, like any of these games, you know, as a viewer, like you're aware of like home field advantage and like the difficulty of playing as like the away team or whatever. But when you're in the stadium, it's like, wow, this is everywhere.
It was everywhere. So that it was very fun. And then just on top of that, like not that we're particularly Seahawks fans, but boy, did we pick a good game to go to, because they just stomped the Dolphins, which made the atmosphere at the game super fun.
It was really fun. Of course, then my fantasy football team featured 2 of the prominent players from the Miami Dolphins. So I'm sitting there like, this is so fun. I'm so excited. And also my fantasy team is being just straight annihilated.
Just getting wrecked out there.
Yeah. So good times. The other really kind of fun thing, though, going back to the 12th man, is they have this gigantic flag.
Yes.
That they raise. And I guess they probably bring in like, you know, different celebrities and stuff to do this. But, you know, we've just kind of like got in, we found our seats. We're like in like total nosebleeds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're kind of buying our tickets a bit on the late side. And I think people in Seattle really like going to the games, obviously.
Yeah.
So like getting tickets was sort of a big deal. We sit down and we're taking it all in, and we see like up on the Jumbotron, they start like playing like footage of like women's gymnastics, you know, which the Olympics just ended. And, you know, Jay and I both were like super dialed in to the women's gymnast team in particular. And we're kind of like, what? I wonder what this is like. Why are they showing this type of stuff? And then like finally like over the intercom, they're like, now to raise the flag for the 12th man is Jordan Chiles.
Yeah.
Like, and we're like, wait, what?
And we look over, and because like, the where they raise the flag is like up near the top of the stadium because they have this little like flag platform.
Yes.
So like we like, you know, when they started showing, yeah, her like highlight reel on there, I was like, oh, is she like from Seattle? Like, is she going to be on the field? Are they going to like honor her or something? And it was like, that is sort of what they were doing, but she wasn't on the field. She was at the flag platform, which meant that like, and where our seats were like 100 feet from it.
Yes.
You know, so we like, we look over and not like, we're so high up, we're like on level with her. And it was just like, oh my God, Jordan Chiles is like right there.
Yeah. Like, Jay and I are like punching each other. We're like,
dude, what is happening right now? That was very cool.
It was so funny because we're there to like, you know, watch these like, you know, pro athletes, you know, go and do their thing. You know, there's like Tyreek Hill is on the yeah, field and everything. And there's Jordan Chiles and me, and you were like, what?
I know, freaking out. So that was very fun.
It was such a cool experience.
And that was, I think, it was also like the shock value, because it was like, not only was it like, if she had just been on the field, that would have been cool, but it was a surprise that she was there, and then more surprising that we happened to just be very nearby.
Yes.
We could like actually see her.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and loved it. So much fun.
That was very cool.
Great game in Seattle.
Great game in Seattle. Yes, good times indeed. But that was our like lone day off for the whole trip, because then like not that we performed every day after that, but the days in which we were not that we did not have shows, we filled with driving.
We had like, yeah, we had two different 9-hour drives.
Yes, we did. Just right down the whole west coast of California of the United States.
I know. I mean, yeah, it was unbelievable, because like we drove like, so even growing up our whole lives, like our family has always like lived in like New York, upstate New York. So like it's never been uncommon for us to like, you know, get in the car in Virginia, like, you know, for the holidays or whatever, and to drive, you know, 9-10 hours north up to the state of New York. Like, and so like, I guess in my head, you know, like I've kind of got this like idea of like what like a 9-hour drive entails. And then on this trip out on the West Coast, we did two different 9-hour drives,
yeah,
through the state of California.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just, I mean, I guess some of it was like Oregon, but like, you know, you're just like, this state is so big.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
yeah, like I mean, it's unfathomable in my head a little bit. Like, I mean, and this is not coming as a surprise. It's never like I didn't know that California was huge, but like that puts it into context.
Oh, no, that you could drive 18 hours like north to south and be inside of the same state the whole time. Whereas like if we drive to New York, we will go through West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and then like in New York for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's just unbelievable, like the difference in the magnitude of the particular stretch, especially because we're on like I-5 out there, which is a straight shot.
Right.
Like, it's not like you're winding or anything. It's like, you know.
You're just going. Just
it's a big line. Yeah.
Big line. It's also like, it was very different from driving on the interstates, or at least the interstate we're typically on the East Coast is called I-81. Spent many, many hours on that road.
Yes, yes.
But like that one, it is like, it's not especially scenic. Like sometimes it will be, but for the most part, you're just sort of like next to the woods most of the time.
Yeah, next to the woods, or else just like large buildings.
Or large buildings, yeah. Whereas this, like, I could not believe how frequently like the entire landscape would change into different vast things. Like you'd be going along and you'd be driving past like farmland and orchards for what felt like as far as the eye could see.
Yes.
And then suddenly, like, even though you just seemed like you couldn't even see different landscapes in the distance, suddenly you'd just be like in the mountains.
Right.
And you'd be like, well, gosh, there's giant like rocks and boulders and mountains and steep slopes all around me. And then you'd be there for like a while. And then suddenly, like, even though you could, like, you couldn't see past them forever, you'd be like, man, now we're surrounded by swamps. Okay. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it just kept changing into so many different landscapes over and over.
Yeah, like, yeah. You had like snow-capped mountains, and then like pure desert complete with like tumbleweeds.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, then you go
the double dead grass.
Yeah, like the grass we just kept talking about. It's like this grass died, and then it died again.
That's what it looked like. Yeah. It was quite brown.
It was quite brown. But then it was so cool too, because then like you'd be like in this like such an arid environment and you finally like come across like a river, and then like, you know, going up like 100 feet in either direction of the river is like bright green, and then grass everywhere again. It's like, wow, the proximity to the water just next to the river makes such a huge difference for all of this.
Who knew?
Water. So there's a piece of me that feels like if California is ever getting significant rain ever again, I want to go out there so I can see all of these like just huge rolling mounds of brown turn into huge rolling mounds of green.
Oh, I know.
It would have been gorgeous.
Quite gorgeous. Yeah. Quite gorgeous otherwise. But then, even the temperature would get crazy. You know, you'd be just sticking your arm out the window to be like, it feels like 100 degrees out here.
Yes.
And it was hot.
Yes. Yeah. Just a completely different kind of environment. So we just kind of just kept churning along though. So yes, we had like our week before we left that was just completely action packed, so busy. And then we're on the road for, you know, 11 days with our one break day, which was dedicated to basically being busy and sightseeing in Seattle the entire time. And then we promptly get home like midweek, and all of our, like everything that we've done to get ahead has all run out.
Yes.
And so then all of a sudden you find yourself in this position of like, we need to walk in and produce all of our content for an entire week on a short week after we've all been going for 16 straight days. So it's just like, I think that we are reaching a point where I don't think I've ever in my entire life been so excited for a weekend.
Oh my gosh. I know. Which is also why when you're listening to this episode is coming out like a day late. Because we just needed like the extra time to get other stuff done.
I know.
Sorry about that. But we're still doing it for you. We got it done. We're getting the pop out there.
That's right.
We wanted to talk about everything while it was still fresh. So here we are. Stories from the road, as it were. Let's see, what else did we do in Seattle? We also went to the Space Needle.
We did
in
Seattle. Yep, we sure did. Yep, which was, it was kind of trippy. Like even like when we were going out there, like I have bungee jumped in my life before, and so I was like, I wonder if there's a bungee jump off the Space Needle. Like that would be so cool. Like I would love to get up there and just like jump off.
Oh wow.
You know, like in my head, like I'm telling myself this. And then we get up there, and of course you've got this like beautiful like floor to ceiling, like, you know, glass windows where you can like walk right up to the edge, and like your toes are like right up against like the glass, and you're just like, you can like lean forward and just like look out into all of everything. And man, like all of a sudden I was like, I've got the tinglies. Like,
absolutely. I know what you mean, because like, yeah, you get up, you can walk right up to the edge, and like the glass like is leaning away from you.
Yes.
At like an obtuse angle. So you can like lean forward and rest on the glass and like look down. And it's like, it's like you can tell yourself like, this thing has been here for whatever, 60 plus years.
Yeah, I don't decades. Even know.
Decades. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely safe. There's people all around me doing it. And yet there's no doubt that like there's some tingles when you're like looking down, like leaning over the edge that way. And then you could go to a different spot where the floor was made of like this like very thick tempered glass.
Yes.
And like it was like that. And it's like that wouldn't have been, I don't think, that weird, except the whole needle is like spinning. And so when you're standing on it, you can like watch the motion.
Yeah.
Which like if you were just standing on it, I think it would have been fine. But because you can see it moving, it like creates this like sensation in your brain like you're falling or something.
Oh my gosh.
Of course you're not at all, but even if the worst thing happened to the floor crack, like you would still be caught before you fell.
Oh yeah.
There's a whole other thing that will catch you. But it took some getting used to for sure.
It reminded me, I think it's the third Jurassic Park movie. There's like a scene where they've got like an out base camp like trailer or something that like the T-Rex or some other dinosaur like knocks off the edge, and it's like hanging by wires, and like the person like falls down to like the bottom glass, and like the weight, like you can see like all the pressure points like where like their hands and knees are like putting all of the weight of their body, and like it's like the glass is like splintering like underneath all the pressure points, and you're like, no, like literally in my head the whole time I was like, I'm gonna lean forward, and like this is gonna, because this is what I do in my head whenever whenever I'm in situations like this, I'll start to like write the headline that's sort of like space needle accident or something.
You know? Right. Yeah. Like, it's going to be like, you're the one.
I'm the one. It's like, it's never happened before, but it's like, you know, if I like lean forward, I'm like, what would I do if all of a sudden like there was like a crack that just formed like around like where my hand was like resting or putting weight, you know,
you'd cause a panic. That's everyone would be like, we're out.
Yeah. Yeah. The city of Seattle right now is like, guys, stop talking.
Stop
talking.
Why would you say
people
like
people
that?
Love coming here. Like yeah. you're instilling fear into potential guests.
Yeah.
No, it was completely safe, but yeah. And it was really fun. But yeah, no, it's so incredible. Like there is this like thing that I think happens to me when it comes to travel, where like I always have this like full head of ambition from like the safety of my home, or like, you know, from being like behind the keyboard as I'm like planning the trip. And I'm like, you know, once we're out there, it's like don't let yourself be tired. Like embrace the fact that you're there, like go and make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
And then you just can't help it. Like you get out there and you're jet lagged and you're tired and you've been going all day, and like, you know, of course we went to the game, so we had like a drink, and like, you know, that's yeah. kind of like wearing you down and stuff like that. So you get out in these situations and you're like, I need to make the best of being here. I need to like live like, every opportunity.
I'll only be here for 12 hours, maybe ever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, but then you're like, but I am so tired.
So
and
tired.
I would love to just suggest like, guys, let's go get in the car and go back to the hotel and fall asleep. And like, you know what? It'll be fine. It's like, I got to see it. But like, I this always happens to me, like whenever I'm traveling, whenever I'm doing anything where it's like, I can't escape the fact that I'm like tired. I'm fatigued. It's like, just keep going.
Just
you
keep
can
going.
Do it. It's worth it. You're yeah. going to do it. You're going to be so glad.
Dude, that is how I was at the Space Needle. Like we ate dinner and it was like, all right, we're going to Space Needle next. And like, I was starting to have like a real like sinus headache or like pressure happening in my head. And I was like, I desperately need to lie down. I'm like, but you know what? Space Needle, got to do that. And you know, we're just going to go over there and it'll be an elevator ride. We'll go up, we'll look around. That'll be it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's like, you know, effectively what happens. But we get there and it's like you buy the tickets and the tickets are like, okay, you can, your time slot is at like 8:30, so come back to this spot at 8:30 and you can go up. And it's like, okay, cool. So we do that, but we buy them at like 8, so it's like, okay, so now we have to like putz around for an extra half an hour. Okay, no big deal, half an hour, we'll come by, we'll go up, it'll be great.
Yeah.
So we like walk around the gift shop, get a bunch of cool things and stuff, and then 8:30 comes and we go back to the spot and they're like, great, you can get in line now. And it was like, oh, this isn't like holding our spot on the elevator, it's holding our spot to get in line.
Yes.
And then the line is like 40 minutes and you're like, ugh. I was like, please just get us up there. Please. So tired.
It would be like going to a Disney park and having like the lightning lane and then realizing that the lightning lane was just the ability to get in line.
Yes.
And then wait for the entire ride.
Yeah, and then wait for the entire ride. But it was still worth going up there. It was still really good, even though I had all like the pressure and stuff. So I'm glad we did it. I was just like, every time I think we're almost there, there's another thing.
You know,
yeah.
What's really interesting to me as well is that like I think that like our family historically has always been known for what we kind of like refer to as like type 2 fun, which oftentimes like a lot of like our GMA adventures, I would neatly sort into this column. It's like we went on some type of crazy adventure. It almost always involved being like extremely hot, extremely cold, extremely fatigued in like a weird space or environment, you know, inside of a cave behind a waterfall, like something unusual that was like pushing or testing boundaries to the point where like when you were doing the thing, you probably weren't like, this is so much fun.
Right.
But like afterwards, we get to tell the story for the rest of our life.
Right.
And I think like all of tour, this was sort of like what kept happening to me, where I was like, I need to persevere and go and do all the stuff because I know after the fact, I will be so grateful for having done
it. Yes.
So basic tourism turned into type 2 fun for the entire trip.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. So let's see, after Seattle, our next stop was Portland, Oregon, which was an interesting stop. We got there early enough in the day that we could do like one touristy thing before we had the show. And it was one of those where it was like, we arrived, we have like 3 hours to do something, then the show, and then the next morning we're leaving immediately.
Yes.
So it was very little time, but we went to the Rose Garden.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I guess Portland in particular's climate is spectacular for growing roses. So like 51 weeks of the year, it is capable of like having, you know, roses in bloom. And so you go to this like incredible garden that has every variety of rose in the world.
Yes.
I mean, and I think that that's just accurate. Like, I think so.
It was like, I say Rose Garden. It was like the international Rose Garden.
Yes.
Or something. Like, yeah. It was like a very like big prominent place. They have like a giant like rose festival every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was wild to walk around, because you're like, oh, flowers, but like, no, but like flowers, yeah. Man.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like when I'm like looking at it, I'm like, man, apparently I really like flowers.
I know,
you know, like more yeah. than I maybe realized, mm-hmm. which was pretty neat. Got to soak all that in.
Yeah. But it's so, yeah, it was crazy seeing all the different kinds of roses. Like, I mean, they come in like literally every color, and then a bunch of them had like very weird smells.
Oh, they did.
And stuff, yeah. Which was fun. And you could like see like the award winning roses, which are in their own special garden and stuff like that.
The blue ribbon roses,
as it were. Yeah, so that was a really cool stop, and I would totally recommend it to anyone if you happen to be passing through Portland. Like, if you're like, what, Rose Garden? Is that going to be fun? Yes, it will be.
Yes.
Yeah. Worth your, and it's free, so there's that too.
Yeah, yeah, pay for parking.
Just, yeah, pay for parking, but otherwise, you're good. And then we got to the venue at Portland, which was... It was a really cool space.
Yeah, it was. Yes. Yeah. Very like historic feeling.
Yeah. Very historic feeling. You're like, you know, you have the stage and like the first half of the floor is covered in like seats, and like the back half has got like a bar with like little tables, and there was like a balcony area, and I was like, oh my gosh, we never had a balcony.
Yeah.
Anywhere we're going. So that was really cool. But then I just wanted to bring this up because it was unique, is that if you're the one doing the show at the venue, there's typically like a room called the green room.
Yeah.
And that is where like you will like hang out until it's time to be on stage, or like where you're going to like put your stuff or eat your food or whatever.
These were things that I honestly thought were reserved for like literally if you're like on, you know, like a late night show. I was like, places don't have green rooms. Like, that's not like a real thing. It feels like so elevated. But then like once you start doing this type of stuff, you're like, we really need a place to go and like change clothes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, go and have like a quick debrief, or like a place where you can like eat. You know, like in between everything, where you sort of are like apart and stuff. So you green rooms run the gambit for sure.
They do. Like, they come in like every shape and size and style. And I just have to acknowledge the Portland one for being the most unique one I think we've ever been in.
There is absolutely no doubt.
And it is a type 2 kind of green room.
Yes, it is.
Type 2 fun kind of green room, yeah. I would say. Like, is it the nicest one? Not even close. Not even close at all.
Yeah.
It was under the stage.
Yep. So, like, if you can imagine us being up on stage, just like when we left, we were like going underneath
the stage. The walls are all painted gold.
Yep. Cinder block room.
Cinder block room painted gold. There's like one, I don't know, like not much lighting down there.
Yeah. It's right? If you can imagine like going down to like your basement and you've got like a light bulb that you pull like the little like metal string thing on. It's like there were like maybe two of those.
Yeah. There's like one big mirror that is surrounded on all sides by like graffitied wall and like stickers from other
performers
who had been there. And that's pretty that there I just got, like, it seemed like most green rooms are either like a little bit nicer or a little bit grungier, and they both have like their own like fun to them.
They do.
Like, you know, there was plenty that are just covered in stickers and like have the walls signed all over the place and stuff like that. And there are plenty that are just sort of like, yep, this is a nice room with some couches in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Usually like framed photos of past performers who came through. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But this one, like there were no couches. There was like, our gold walls, our graffitied mirror, the stickers all over the place, like five folding chairs.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, this is a vibe. This is absolutely. And then this is just like, well, what we have observed is that it is fantastic if there is a bathroom attached to the green room, because like you will inevitably need to go several times. And like at least at one of the venues we were at, there was no bathroom in the green room or even on our side of the building. So if you needed to go, you had to like walk through the audience.
Yes.
Which, like, you know, we could sort of accomplish, but like, I can imagine for bigger acts, like, you can't do that.
I could see a world where it's sort of like, wait a second, like, you know, the lead vocalist is just like walking through the lobby.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you saw us in Seattle, we needed to pee.
Yeah, we did, no doubt. But Portland, let me just say, there was a bathroom attached to the green room, but it was the most like I don't even know, horror movie bathroom you've ever seen.
The demon toilet.
The demon toilet is what we kept calling it. There is like a small, like, there's a little door off in the corner, and you open it, and it is a narrow hallway, like maybe like 3 inches on either side for your shoulders. And like, you, like, there's not a hallway, but there's no flat ground. You open the door and you're immediately at the bottom of a small set of stairs.
Yes.
You climb four steps, and then at the top of the steps, there is just barely enough room for the toilet that is sitting there.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yep.
And that's the bathroom.
It's illuminated by a red light bulb.
A red light bulb. So, like, you were just you were basically using the bathroom at the top of a narrow staircase. And, like, it was so unusual.
it was really odd. It was like, okay. Like,
I guess this will do.
At least there is one.
At least there is one. Yeah. You know, was there a mirror in the bathroom? Could you get ready in there? No.
Yeah.
But you could use the bathroom. So there you go. That was Portland. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun. See, now it's type 2 fun. It's fun. It's fun that we were there.
I know. It's like, it's going to be memorable forever.
Yeah.
We will never forget the demon.
We'll always have Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, we moved on to Sacramento, which this is our first 9-hour drive day. So going from Portland to Sacramento, very far drive. And we didn't have a show that day, so we're just in the car, but we finally get to Sacramento. And apologies if you're from the area. I sort of got the vibe that maybe this is sort of the opinion of the area as well, that like, maybe there's just not a ton to do in Sacramento.
It's an odd one, because Sacramento is the state capital of California.
Yeah.
And California is like one of our, if not the biggest states,
yeah,
you know, like right up there with, you know, Texas and
Texas
New York
and Alaska, yeah,
by
population, yeah, landmass, whatever.
But yeah, so it's like we roll in, and of course, being from like Roanoke, Virginia, like it is generally our resting belief that everywhere else has more to do than where we are, which, you know, isn't really like Roanoke's like a great place to like live, but I don't know like if it's like the ultimate like tourism place,
yeah,
unless you really like mountain biking,
yeah.
In which case,
great place.
Yes. And so, yeah, like we're like pulling into Sacramento. We've had this like crazy long drive. We're like, what is there to do? Like, we're looking for just like anything, you know, like a cool rooftop bar, like a scenic place to go eat, or like, you know, like some type of neat local activity, whatever. We can't find just about anything.
Yeah. Like, I looked up several different like tourism blogs, and the top thing on multiple blogs was the train museum.
Yeah.
Which we did ultimately go to.
We did. And it was fun.
And you know what? It was fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, that wasn't really like a we're getting here at 7 at night and need food kind of stop.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, after a 9-hour drive, you guys want to go do the train museum?
You just want to hit the train museum?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. But it struck me that in many a different city I have been in, someone will often throw out one idea, and it is always one I'm like really hoping that the group will land on, but never has.
I know.
Because
I agree.
It is a place that was going to come to Roanoke. There were plans for it, and then they got scrapped, and it was a massive bummer. But what we landed on was Topgolf, which we had never done before, which I've always wanted to do. And I was like, you know what? There's got to be a Topgolf in Sacramento. Like, there just has to be. And we looked it up, and like literally on our way to the hotel, there was a Topgolf.
There was, yes. I think technically in Roseville.
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah. Hopefully maybe not even right. In Sacramento. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was so exciting, because we finally got to go and play Topgolf, and I loved it.
You did. Like, guys, I cannot describe to you what happened to bed. We were sitting in that car all day, and I don't even know if when I suggested it, you were like, okay, like, oh, like, I don't, like, you were, you accepted the idea.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not sure you were like, oh, yes, or anything, you know?
Well, yeah, I have the hesitance to speak for everybody. Like, you know, yeah. So it's kind of like one of those things where I think you described it very well, where it was like, oftentimes you're in a big city, it gets lobbed out there. And like, you know, it's kind of like, can you get everybody to agree on this plan? It's like, not always the case.
Right.
And so I was kind of like, that sounds like a lot of fun, but I also know how this suggestion always goes.
Right, right.
So describe
when it was just suggested, what was your internal,
when it was just suggested, I think the only thing that was holding me back, hilariously, was almost sort of like, well, Topgolf is other places. And so that was the only thing internally that sort of like would hold me back. However, it's not where we live.
This is why people don't land on it, because you typically, like, if you're like visiting other relatives or something in another state, like that has Topgolf, that like it'll be thrown out there like, oh, that's a thing we could do because you don't have it. But it's sort of like, but it is other places, so we could go do it, but it won't be a unique experience to visiting this place.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be like, wow, like, you know, the Topgolf in Sacramento specifically is like, you gotta hit it. Like, you know, because I would assume that largely everywhere you go, the experience is probably intended to be rather similar.
Yeah.
It's not like the landscape is like impacting what the experience is like, and it's like, oh, we're in the mountains, so you get to like lob it off into the, you know,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be wild. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, I think that's sort of like where I was at. Like, I was like, okay, well, we're out here, you know, like, you don't always have this opportunity, but like, but at the same rate, like, we could be on some other vacation and do it. But then I think what was really doing it for me was, I was like, there's almost nothing to do in Sacramento, like, and this is here. And so I like, that's like honestly what got us there. It was kind of like, we don't really have a better plan. Like, this is just kind of it.
Right.
So yeah, we get there, we walk in, we get like all stationed up and everything. And I guess I was like the first one to go hit based on like the order. And I swung my club like 3 times, and I immediately went to text Alice, and I was like, I love golf.
It was like hilarious. Like, Ben got up there to the tee and smacked his first ball and turned around a new person. It was just like hobby unlocked or something.
And I was like, this is great. Yeah.
Which is, I thought it was so funny, because yeah, you were just like, it looked like just half the time of your life just hitting golf balls for the next couple hours.
I mean, there was no doubt, like, because, you know, we were there with like 5 people, so you're like, you're definitely splitting up like your 90 minutes or whatever we had paid for, like across everybody like playing the games, like, you know, we're like also eating food and having drinks and stuff like that brought to the table. So like, we're doing like the whole experience, but there was a part of me in the back of my mind that was like, I'm about to go rent a booth for myself. And just sit there and be like, next ball, whack. Boom. Next ball, whack. Next ball, whack. I was like, I didn't even want to play the games. All I wanted to do, and I think maybe I just like, it's just like splitting wood. You know, it's like that, like, kind of like repetitive, like semi-cathartic experience of just like wailing.
Yeah.
You know, in a completely like semi-intended way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like, I mean, you're trying to hit the ball, you know, far and straight.
Far and straight.
You know, basically. And yet, like, it was super fun, because the way the game modes are set up, if you don't know what Topgolf is, there's like 3 or 4, like, it's like a 4-story building, and there's just like rows of, it's like a driving range, but like, instead of being like left to right, it's like stacked on top of each other. So if you're like on the 4th floor, you're hitting golf balls off of like, you know, a really high level. So you can like super high. Now, unfortunately, when we got there, we had to be on the bottom floor because they were just full.
Yeah.
Which, so we were just having a regular driving range experience, but either way, very fun. And they have like little targets and stuff, and depending on where you land the ball, you'll get points or whatever. And it was the sort of thing where like, part of me was like, how strategic should I be trying to be? Do I want to try and hit it for the points or whatever? And I was like, I have one way that I will be scoring points, and it will be to hit the ball as far as possible.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. I was like, I could probably game this out a little bit more, but I have been sitting and doing nothing for 9 hours, and I will be putting all of that restless energy into this one strategy.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think that was the exact same camp I was in. It's like, it just felt good to just like do a thing. This was type 1 fun.
Yeah. This was type 1 fun.
While I was was doing it, I was loving it.
Exactly. Yeah. So super fun. Yay, Top Golf. Would do again.
Yes.
Stay tuned for the golfing adventures of Ben and Jay.
Yes. Surely underway. Yeah.
But then the next day, we found your wife suggested something to do in Sacramento that surprisingly didn't come up when we were looking up things to do.
I agree. Yeah. Like, because I was literally texting Alice that morning and I was like, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do. We got some time before our show tonight. And she's like, go to Old Sacramento. And I was like, what is Old Sacramento? And so like then we like punch it in and it's just like, I mean, if you can imagine Frontierland at Disney or Disney, like Disney World to Disneyland, it's like, it's that.
It's kind of that.
But it's like real.
Yeah. And like minus like rides.
Minus rides. Yeah. But like the, you know, it's like you've got this like very like
old timey like, saloon style town.
Yes.
Yeah. Like in the middle of this big city. And just had all these like very fun shops. Like I think there was like 5 candy stores or something.
Yeah. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud 9 until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. And that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a FeatherSnap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Candy seemed like a big one.
Yeah, candy was a big one. So like we went in one. It was a very fun experience. We all bought some candy. We got some for the show.
We did.
Which was really fun.
We got danger beans.
We got danger beans for the show. Yeah, we did that. We found this very cool, like, I don't know, like, is memorabilia store the right word for
it? Yeah,
I
think so. Yeah.
Kind of like fandom store.
Right.
I don't know.
It was like, sort like of an FYE, but like
an FYE meets a Hot Topic meets a like one of those Disney studio galleries at Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well said.
So just tons of stuff. in there that was just sort of like fun to look at for what we were, you know, what we were doing as well. And let's see. Oh, this was the start of the Pluto pin collecting for the week.
Oh my gosh.
Because I knew at the end of the week we were going to Disneyland and I was like, oh boy, I'm going to bring some pin. Like, oh man, maybe I'll get a few new pins on this trip. And so I rolled the dice on a mystery box I bought there, and like we were recording it on Instagram, and I just pulled a pin, like I just got it, and it was like, oh, I couldn't believe it. It was very fun pull.
It was like tour magic. Like, yeah, it was just, it reminded me of like when we were doing like Popcorn Culture Live at GoFest a couple of years ago, and somebody gave us this like tiny little like eraser head sized like duck.
Yeah.
And you like threw it from your chair and like landed it in the cup.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know how that happened. Like, yeah. That was such an amazing shot.
It's
like,
always better live, Ben.
It's always better live. It's always better live. But this was exactly like, I was like, I cannot believe that. Yeah, like we were rolling, we're out here. Like everybody knows about like your whole like Pluto thing, and like boom, yeah. Right, boom. There,
did
the Pluto.
That was super fun. And then we went to the train museum out there. It was apparently it's the best thing you can do in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Besides Topgolf, I guess.
Yeah.
and it was pretty cool. Like we took the tour and everything, and you know, learned about the, you know, Intercontinental Railroad. Road and
yeah, the transcontinental, yeah,
transcontinental. Railroad. What, yep. I say, intercontinental. It's across the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. Transcontinental Railroad. Yeah, that was fun. And then like Ethan, who is one of the editors here, is like a big train nerd.
Big
so
train
he
guy.
Yeah. He was in heaven at, yes, that train museum.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then we did the show.
Yeah. The show. Boom. Sacramento.
Good times. Let's see. And from Sacramento, we headed to Berkeley, which I guess is very San Francisco adjacent. So we had to like drive across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Got to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
That was one of those really fun ones for me. Like where whenever, I don't know why I keep coming back to Disney World on this conversation, but like when we're at like Soarin' at Epcot, like, and you're sort of like going through like all these like different landscapes. It's like, hey, I've been there. Like, you know, Paris or whatever. The Golden Gate Bridge is like one of those where, I feel like it's been like instilled into my memory for so long as like an iconic place I wanted to go, because when we were kids, like in 1996, our parents ran their first ever marathon, and they did the San Francisco Marathon,
yes,
which started on the Golden Gate Bridge. And so it's like, it's always been one of these places that like I have like wanted to go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we got to like drive across it, and it was like, wow, this, yeah, is so wild. And we went and like took photos and like that whole thing. It was kind of like a big like bucket list item that you was like, okay,
yeah,
I've done it.
I did it. I drove across the bridge. I took the picture. I've seen it.
It's so funny to me as well. Like, I couldn't get this out of my head though. It was like, some people just drive across this for work every day.
I know,
like,
right?
It's, like, it's a very practical, heavy use bridge.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it is such a wonder to behold if you've never seen it, but to other people it's like they interact with it every day, like, yes, it must become so mundane to them.
Yeah. I'm so certain.
Yeah,
so certain.
Yeah, so yeah. there is that. But then the show in Berkeley was fun. We had invited one of our, like, a girl we're gonna do a collab with, I think, next week.
Yes.
If you've ever seen her on TikTok, Magic by Michaela.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So she is from the Bay Area, and had some time that night and came out to the show. That was really fun.
It was so cool. It was, yeah, so cool. Yeah. It's like one of those fun experiences where, like, you know, we always talk about like CastleCon, and I feel like there's this like huge piece of me that's like,
yeah,
every time we like meet like a new like Harry Potter content creator, I'm sort of like, one day maybe all of us come together,
maybe we do it, CastleCon together. Yeah.
So it's like we're in recruitment mode for the hypothetical eventual CastleCon.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
and so if you've never seen Magic by Michaela, I'm sure that you'd love her content.
Yeah,
she was a just a very sweet person, very nice, and it was great that she was able to come out to the show.
Check her out on Instagram and TikTok. And then let's see, from Berkeley we headed to San Diego, where we had yet another doubleheader. So this was another very long day for us.
Yes.
Which is, it's like, it is fun. Like having the morning crowd, the manatee crowd, as it were.
The manatee crowd. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's like, they were like a little bit smaller crowds, but they're like the intimate one that made it like very interaction heavy.
Yes. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I know like a lot of the comments from like our East Coast tour, from like the live shows, people are like, oh, like, you know, there's like a lot of like interjection from the audience, but like from being there in in person and getting to like have the experience, it was like, it was very interesting because you had this like smaller group of people and you're sort of like bouncing off of like everything. And it was kind of like, this is neat.
Yeah.
You know, this is almost like having like a focus group right there with you, like for like conceptualizing like a theory or something like that. It's like you could say something and somebody's like, oh, but what about this? And you're like, that's a good point. Okay, yeah, let's keep that in mind, you know. Yeah. And it's like, it worked out in a way that I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
it was a unique show because of it.
Yeah So that was pretty cool. San Diego was sadly like a place we did not have a ton of time to like explore the town.
Yeah.
We did go to a restaurant the night we got there, but it was a New Zealand style restaurant in San Diego.
I would argue it was some of the best food we had the entire trip,
though. Honestly, I would also argue that. I got the fish and chips at this place, and I think it might have been the best fish and chips I've ever had.
Yes. Was it called Daedun?
Yeah, I didn't quite know how to pronounce the name of it.
I'm going to do a quick search. Hang on one second.
It had a very fun vibe to it, though.
Dunedin.
Oh.
Dunedin, New Zealand Eats.
Dunedin, New Zealand Eats. So if you're in the San Diego area, can recommend.
Can recommend. Yeah, that's the one place we went to. Yep. So much fun. That's the other thing too that's always so fun about tour, which was kind of hilarious, is that like a couple of different occasions we were ending up in these very like jungle tiki room inspired places.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, you know, are we doing this on purpose? Like, or do we gravitate? Do we love a good tiki room?
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah,
we went to, that was in Sacramento, where we went to like the real tiki room place, right?
That's true. Yeah.
That was a pretty good one, because like from the outside you'd have had no idea there was even a business there,
right?
Like, you just looked like a gray wall with a door on it, and then you went inside and it was like, oh my gosh, this is a like, very fun place.
Jimmy Buffett threw up on this place. It
was like, yeah, that was very fun. We had all like the very islandy drinks that night. That was a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, one of those big bowls that's got like 5 straws coming out of it.
That's another bucket list item for me. I've never done like the, you know, because it's usually like a $40 drink.
Yeah,
because everybody like kind of like shares chips it in, together. Yeah. So I've never done one before, and that was another one. I was like, this is so cool.
It's happening.
Yes. Yeah. Mom,
we have the drink. Oh man, that was pretty fun. So that was San Diego, and then LA. Our last stop was Los Angeles, the grand finale, and this one was extra fun because, one, it was the finale, and then two, Beth and Alice had flown out and they were able to meet us out there and come to the last show.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this was I was so glad for this too, because like, you know, the thing you can never like undersell when it comes to doing these tours is the, like, it's like, it's so fun for us. It's also a ton of work for us and the team, and like, you know, everything to get ready to prepare to go and do all that type of stuff.
Yes.
But also for our like houses, our homes, it's like the weight of us being gone is massively,
is heavy.
Yes. Yeah. By Beth and Alice, who then, you know, are kind of like holding down the forts while we're out there. So yeah, we were really excited that they got to like fly out. They got to go and do like their own fun stuff. They got to come to the show, and you know, we had like Disneyland plans and everything.
Yeah. I feel like they were putting us to shame tourist wise. Like, because they arrived while we were at San Diego, was the day they arrived at LA.
Yes.
And then like we woke up the next day and we're like driving to go meet them. And like, you know, we're waking up at like, you know, 8 in the morning to load up and get in the car, and we're getting texts from them and they're like, we just hiked to the Hollywood side. And it was like, wow, you guys are being so productive.
Yeah. You guys got up and went. Yeah.
So that was, you know, good for them for really, clearly they have the same mentality as us. Like, we'll be tired later, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll be fine. We'll sleep eventually.
And then like where our hotel was located was like right next to Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we were able to walk down to, and that was a really cool place. Like, very, just tons of little shops you can go check out. We had a very good like sushi lunch.
Yes.
That day. Really fun. And they had found some bakery that we went to in the morning that had these like, what were the kind of rolls?
I don't even know what these buns are called, but yes. It was like a big dome roll that had like a sweet cream or a sweet butter or something inside of it. But I mean, it was like one of the most delicious baked goods that I've ever had in my whole life.
I know, like Beth and Alice went to it their first morning there, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, you have to try these. They're so good." And like immediately I was like, "Okay, I mean, I'm sure they were good. It feels like I'm, you know, it's about to be oversold to me and I'm going to bite into it and be like, "Yeah, that's a roll."
Yeah.
But no, it was that good.
It was super, that good.
Yeah. Yep. So would, you know, if you're ever in Little Tokyo, look for the little bakery, I guess. It was great. And then, let's see, the show in LA, I thought it was a fantastic, I think that was probably my favorite venue we were at the whole time.
It was really well set up. And like, we got there and they were sort of like, "Is there any like fun furniture you guys want to put on the stage?" And they had like three green rooms in the back. So this was like the type of green rooms that were like nice and like fancy and stuff like that. So, you know, they're
the
like,
opposite of Portland.
Yes. So like, you know, we get up there and like, we're able to like go through and like pick furniture from like each of the rooms. We have this like, a huge, cool, like leather chair and like a big red couch, and it just like, I felt like it was just pure vibes. I was like, "This is so fun. This is so cool. Like, it looks amazing." It turned out so well. And it was, I think the energy, like, you know, like it's almost like finishing a race. Like, I always remember like when we were running back in the day, like you'd turn that last corner and you'd have like that like last kick of energy where it's like, you know, you're huffing and puffing, you're exhausted, and somehow you can still sprint the finish.
Yeah.
It was like, I think that was exactly how I felt by the time we got to the LA show. It's like, okay, I am spent. I am tired. Like, you know, we've been out here for so long, but like the crowd was so great. It was so much fun. And like, I felt like we finished with a flourish.
Yeah, we did. And it was like, I was so worried about it too, because like, I knew this was like the last stop, and the chapter we were reading was like the second chapter of Goblet of Fire. And
it's a recap chapter.
Yes. So like, nothing exciting happens at all. It's basically just like Harry like remembering the events of the first three books.
Yes.
And like thinking about writing a letter, which he eventually does. And so like, I was like, this is such a bad finale chapter, because it's like nothing happens. I was like, we're gonna end on such like a, like, what if we don't think of anything to say? And then it was fine. Like, it worked out just fine.
I know. It is the most hilarious and unusual challenge for doing tour the way that we do, because the show changes every single time we do it, and we are always stacked against whatever logically is the next chapter.
Yes.
And so it's like, you're like, well, here we go. Like, this is the one we have tonight.
This is the one we're doing. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes they're very exciting chapters, and this one was a recap chapter. But everyone seemed to have a really good time. We had a really good time. And it was an awesome show. If you were in LA, if you're at any of the shows, thank you for coming out. And if you weren't, don't worry, we will have more tour dates in the near future. So just keep your eyes peeled. Keep a weather ear out.
Right. The other really kind of like fun thing about the Los Angeles show is that we have a viewer from the like Mythical team from like Good Mythical Morning.
From like Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link.
Yes. And so he came out and, you know, saw the show, and, you know, it was really cool to like get to meet him. And then he was kind of like, "Do you guys want to like come by and like see the studio tomorrow?" We were like,
Is that
an option?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So then the next morning we basically rose. We got up as early as we could to go do that. So we had this sort of like surprise thing that we were doing on Monday morning. Now we had to go to check out like the Mythical studio.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Which I mean, it's so different from ours.
Oh my gosh, I know. Like, I feel like whenever like family members are in town or whatever, they want to come see like our space. I'm always so proud of what we have
too.
To show
like,
here.
It's like, a really like, we have a very cool space. You
yes,
know?
Yes. It's like there's tons of stuff going on. Like, we use every square foot that we have at our disposal for one thing or another. There's, you know, lights and cameras and microphones and you know, memorabilia and stuff all over the place. And so it's like, you know, it feels really cool. And then you walk into their space and it's like, holy crap!
Wow,
like this is on a completely different level.
It's like, yeah, we have five people who work here. They have like 100 people.
Yes. Yeah.
But like, and you know, just I don't know.
And it shows.
And it shows. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is like, there's like tons of stuff everywhere, but also all neatly organized. Like, you feel like everyone kind of knows where the stuff is.
Yeah.
And like, they have put a set in every available space they can fit one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is the, I mean, we got to go to like the actual Good Mythical Morning set and like sit on it and spin the Wheel of Mythicality. And
we filmed, you know, a Hey Brother.
We filmed a Hey Brother from the Mythical set. Was like, that was really cool.
I know. I'm like, it was like one of those things where it's like, do we put this out into the world or is it just going to seem like we're doing a collab, which we were, you know, which we're not.
Which,
you know,
we were not. Yeah. Like Rhett and Link weren't even there.
Yeah.
You know, it was very interesting because, like, you know, you'd think like, oh yeah, Monday morning at Mythical, I bet it's crazy hectic and busy, and I was almost like, oh man, is it even going to be okay to show up, or we're just going to be like in the way? And it was like, it was pretty chill.
Yeah, yeah, it was okay.
It was okay. There was like maybe 10 other people there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I guess, just work remotely,
yep,
and stuff. But like, yeah, we got to tour like the podcast studio and the main set and the Mythical Kitchen, and like they have a whole separate building just for the art and all the stuff they're making.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So huge shout out to Chase for making that.
Yes.
Happen.
Yes.
Us.
So yes, huge shout out to Chase from Mythical for showing us around.
Yes.
And that was really fun. And yep, then and that was just the start of our day, because then we went to Disneyland.
And then we went to Disneyland. Yes. I mean, talk about days where it was just kind of like, okay, don't be tired. Find it in you to not be tired.
Yeah.
Because yeah, you go through this like whole first endeavor of the day, and then you're sort of like, okay, now we go to a Disney day.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go throw down 20,000 steps.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that, I mean, it was really cool, because the last time we went to Disney, I want to say it was in like 2017 or something, or 2016 even, because we were out there for VidCon and something came up where it was kind of like we could have like a pass or something. I can't remember if that was like presented to us. Anyway, we went.
Yeah.
But we were there for like 3 hours because we had to like take off on a flight to get back home.
Yeah.
And so like I like in my mind I was like, Disneyland's not that big. Like you can pretty much like see all of it. Like, you know, like we saw like all of it in like 3 hours. And then we went out there and I was like, we did not see all of it. Yes. I was like, we barely scratched the outside surface of what there was available to see.
I dare say when we were there last time, we got a lot done in those 3 hours.
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially based on what happened this time, where we were just like striking out.
We had such like a hard way to go. Like, yeah. I mean, we really wanted to, because we live on the East Coast, we go to Disney World all the time. We're like, all right, let's try to prioritize the things you can only do in Disneyland.
Yeah.
So almost right away, we like, you know, we set up our fast passes. We go and do like the Matador. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Matterhorn.
Matterhorn. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The Matador. No, yeah, that's a different thing.
The Matterhorn.
Big Mountain.
Which Jay's got this like crazy stiff neck, and it was a slightly jerky ride. So I'm like watching Jay the whole time, and he's just kind of like,
oh yeah,
I was bouncing back and forth.
The sitting in the car, like I did not anticipate how much the tour would like physically beat me up.
Yes.
From like just sitting, like you don't think of it as like a really like painful thing, but man, even now, like it's not as bad, but I had like such a stiff neck. I was having to like turn my whole body to look at stuff. And if you've been on the Matterhorn, you'll know that it's a jerky ride. It's old, and I'm impressed that they built it when they did.
Yeah,
but it is a jerky ride.
Yes.
And it was that is the one we were able to get on. And then like Alice, your wife, loves the Haunted Mansion. That's like, you know, a huge chunk of, like, I would say it's like a chunk of her personality.
It does seem
that
way.
The Haunted Mansion.
Yes, yes. I don't know if anybody can tell in the video if you're watching, but I am currently wearing like a Nightmare Before Christmas shirt.
You are.
And this is a big deal for me, because like me and one, I'm sure I've told this story before, but one of me and Alice's first ever like proper arguments in our relationship was way, 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 way early on. We took our first ever trip to Disney, and we were like walking through the Haunted Mansion gift shop, and they had like a Jack Skellington costume. And she was like, oh my gosh, can you imagine one day, like if we had a child, like we could dress them up as Jack for Halloween. And I was like, absolutely not. Like when I was a kid, I remembered watching Nightmare Before Christmas. It gave me actual nightmares. I was like, I am not a fan of it. Like, I'm not interested in it. You know, like no way, no how. Like, and it was kind of like one of those things where I think she felt very personally attacked, because she was like, this is something I really care about.
Right.
And I was it's something I really care about the other way.
Yeah.
Like, and so it was so funny. But then of course, like come Addison, and she is obsessed.
Yeah.
And so it was completely like 180'd my entire stance on the entire Nightmare Before Christmas thing. So
crazy how kids.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it's honestly, I kind of find it like sort of amazing. It's like, it makes me so happy, because I've always assumed that when I had kids, I'm like, I'm not going to have any interest finding ways to be interested in their interests. And I'm like, but I hope that's true. Like, I think that's true. I hope that's true.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I'm like, okay, she took something I actively didn't like, and now I'm wearing a shirt.
Now you're wearing a shirt for it.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the point is that Alice has always been a fan of like all things spooky. She's always been a huge fan of like anything that like Walt in particular touched, and Haunted Mansion is known to be one of those rides.
Yeah. And so it is like the one that's like, people will tell you, like, you know, the Disneyland one. It's like, In Disney World, when you ride it, like, you go into this room and it's like called like the stretching room.
Yes.
And if you're in Disney World, what's happening is the ceiling is rising up to create the illusion of you going down. But in Disneyland, it's the exact opposite. You are actually traveling down.
Yes.
Because the ride is underneath the park. And it was such a popular feature of that ride that they like had to like find a way to replicate it in Disney World, even though you don't go underground.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah. You stay stationary, the ceiling lifts.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the original Haunted Mansion is out there in Disneyland. It's like, this is the origin point. It was like a Walt Disney ride. It is truly unique in that it goes under the park and stuff. And we were there like during October. So it was like, it's spookified and stuff.
Yes, I think it's actually like Nightmare Before Christmas themed.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Which is something we didn't, you know, get to experience because they had like a digital queue. So we signed up for the digital queue and we spent like the whole day like attempting to like find our way like over there to do it.
Yeah.
And like by the time our like line finally gets called, like the ride broke down.
Yes.
So we're like, no big deal, because we have a fast pass that we like paid for Rise of the Resistance. So we walk over to Rise of the Resistance and that has broken down.
Yep.
And we're like, you know, then they're like, okay, well, you can use your Lightning Lane anywhere else. We're like, okay, like we'll save that in our back pocket. No big deal. So we're like, okay, guys, there's one for Thunder Mountain right now. Like, let's sign up for that. We walk over to Thunder Mountain. That ride goes down and we're like, oh my gosh,
what is happening here?
Yeah. So we're just having such a tough way to go. And
yeah,
you know, like we're out there. And so like we bought like the park hopper pass so we could also go to like California Adventure. But like we really wanted to do like Disneyland
Land stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like we kept talking to people on tour and stuff. And we were like, oh, are you guys going to do Disney? And we're like, yeah, we're going to Disneyland on Monday. And they were like, are you doing like California Adventure 2? Or we're like, we have the park app. And they're like, okay, yeah, there's not really much to see over there. So, you know, probably Disneyland. And we're like, okay, cool. Good tip.
Yes,
and yeah. I'm like, I don't know. If you told us that, I disagree with you immensely. Like, I don't know what you were talking about. Like, we eventually finally jumped ship from Disneyland to California, and it was like so much more to do.
There was a lot to do.
There was a lot to do.
I mean, it could have just been like the way that like our day was unfolding. It could have been like the particular like set of circumstances that like we had been dealt. But the moment we switched gears, it was like we were like getting on rides. We like went to like an amazing place to like eat. You know, like everything was like everything clicked into gear so quickly. We got to go on the Incredicoaster, which I've got to say is like probably like a top five roller coaster experience for me.
Absolutely.
Ever.
It was awesome. As far as like Disney roller coasters go, too, because like they don't often go upside down.
No, yeah, like Disney is not usually big on like the like thrill seeking coasters. There, it's always more like, you know, how do you make this like ride like an experience or whatever. And I mean, this felt like a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, it is like a, you know, you there is a loop in it. You're upside down at least once.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And it was really long.
It was long. Yeah, like every time like you know like you come around a turn, and you're like, all right, we're gonna go like into the gate, and it's like, oh, here's a big drop. All of a sudden, here's some up downs, and you're like, yay!
Yeah, kept going.
So I feel like I got off that ride and I was just smiling.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
That was a good one.
I like
that. But so it was an interesting day in Disneyland because like we didn't get to ride a ton of stuff, and yet we still managed to like fill the day with fun things.
Yeah, we ate. we ate so much.
Ate a lot of food. Yes. I think Beth is working on a reel of all the things we ate.
Yes. Yeah. Which I've got to say, I think my favorite bite from the whole day, well, top two maybe, was the churro toffee.
Oh, yeah. Which from now, like the candy shop.
From the candy shop.
Yeah.
So now I'm dying to know whether or not this is also available at Disney World, because I was like, I want more of it. And it was really funny because like we had a bunch of people recommending different things for us to try. And so we go up to the candy store window and like, you know, we're picking out the things people have told us about. And I saw the churro dusted toffee and I was kind of like, can I do one of those as well? And he was like, have you had it before? And I was like, oh man, is he about to like discourage me from it?
Right. Yeah. And like, don't waste your money.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, you're going to want to. I've seen people get in fights over this. And I'm like, No way.
All right.
You know, I'm like, wow, that's like, you know, and I have to say, this guy did remind me a little bit of the sloth scene from like Zootopia. Like, I felt like he was moving like really kind of like casually and slowly. And it was, I mean, which was fine. I mean, like, you know, we got through with no big deal or anything, but it was so funny because like I asked for like the churro toffee and he was like, oh, I have things to say. Like he like, yeah. like clicked into gear and I was like, okay.
All right.
I feel like I just found like a hidden thing that like I didn't know. It was like amazing. And
yeah,
then
a personal discovery.
Yes. Yeah. And then like, sure enough, man, it was like,
that was really
so
good.
So amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're ever at the parks and they have it, then 100% would recommend trying that. And then the other was what is the, how would you describe it? It was like the short rib,
the Kung Pao Bao.
Kung Pao Bao.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that at the like the Pixar Pier restaurant.
Yes.
Yes.
Dude, so yeah. good.
It was so good. And we'd had some pretty good bites that day, but that one like it took the cake. It was incredible. Absolutely get that. That was like the best bite of the whole day. Also shout out to the corn dog, which it was a whole different kind of food.
It was type one fun though. It was fun while you're eating it.
Yeah.
Like it was so delicious. I feel like they said that they use like pancake batter instead of like traditional like cornmeal.
Whatever coating. They use. I don't care. It was so good.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I like corn dogs.
The corn dog was good. And then maybe the most unique thing we tried all day was the pickle lemonade.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, that yep. was very different. And if you're like, what does it taste like? Tasted like that, like lemonade with pickles in it.
Yes, but like that was the type of thing that I was so glad that we were doing, like these, like we were like kind of like filming it and trying to like make like a whole a day out of having like experience based foods. And I was so glad that we did, because honestly, in general, I'd be like, that's kind of like a no fly for me. Like I don't think that I would want to spend, you know, like theme park money on like a novelty drink. But then it was like, that was worth it.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, it ended up being like it was a different way to do Disney.
Yeah, that
like I think, you know, like if you like, if a lot of times if you're only going to Disney like once, like, you know, you try and pack in as much as you possibly can,
right?
And you know, like I feel like the last couple of times we've been like, let's work in a resort day, like an off day, and it's sort of like then different facets of the park sort of open up to you.
Yes,
that like let you kind of like do, you know, relax a little. And this was like a like, why don't we have a food day? And it was like, okay, like I would not normally choose this, but it was a fun way to do it.
It was a really fun way to do it. Yes, yes. Extremely enjoyable.
Yeah, so we had that. And then we also encountered like the pin trading scene.
Oh my
gosh.
At
Disneyland.
In a big way.
Yeah, it was. So there's like, you know, most parks will have like their main pin store, and then like outside is typically like an area where pin traders or collectors will like congregate to trade. And like we've seen a couple of these people before, but never like this.
Right.
Yeah. This, I think, was on the same day as I think there was going to be like a big pin trading event that night somewhere, is what they said. Maybe like a Halloween themed thing.
I maybe didn't catch that, but yeah, I would have described the like the space that we came across as almost like a marketplace.
It almost was.
Like an unsanctioned pin trading marketplace where they had like these like bistro tables set up, and like each person who was like, you know, at each of the tables had like a big binder or else like bags full of like pins available like for trading. Like, I mean, it felt like you were entering like a trade show or something.
It did. But of course you're not allowed to like actually purchase things from each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's not transaction, but it's cool because it does feel like Disney has done a good job of allowing this like commerce ecosystem to exist in a way that is like non-competitive and even like encourages like their own pin sales.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Disney could shut it down in like a heartbeat. Like they could just be like, nope, you can't do that. You can't bring like these huge binders. Like that's bad for business or whatever. But it's almost a situation where like under regulating something has actually allowed for this whole like aspect of the parks to like blossom.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's what they want, because and you know, we're sort of looking through there, and I like the experience we've had pin trading before was just sort of like off the boards at the different shops or whatever.
Yeah.
In which case, and like when you're doing that, like you know, you just like what we have done is like gone to, you know, eBay or something and just bought like a bunch of trader pins off there,
right,
that you have no attachment to. You don't care. And like, and anything you trade is like an up trade because like, you're just, you know, either it's just like, I don't care about this one looks cooler, or it's like, oh, that's Pluto. Yay. I want it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. Like everything's a win in that scenario because you're just using these like clunky traders or whatever. And so that's like all I had brought with me was right. like kind of like our left, not even like the ones we had, like our leftover ones. You,
you
know, the
you
ones
had like a. Like a saggy Ziploc bag.
I know. I have like this saggy Ziploc bag. And I'm like, you know, we're walking up to these people that have these nice pristine binders. And I'm like, you know, oh, you know, we're looking for Pluto pins. And I'm like, oh yeah, we've got a few here. And they'll like show them to you. And like, they look nice. And you're like, they're like, what have you got? And you're like, I've got whatever's in here. You
know? Right, right. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the worst showing I could have even had. And I'm like, I'm even thinking like back in my drawer at home, I have like a whole, like just like when we went to New York on tour, like I bought like just like a pin pack that yeah. was like nice ones because I wanted the Pluto from it. But all the other ones I would trade.
Of course.
You know, but yeah. like those, you know, they're just sitting there in my drawer at home and I've just got my little clunky, ugly pins here. But fortunately, there was like maybe one or two nicer ones in there that I could like do. But then we got to one guy and he's like, here's like the trick. Like if you go buy, like the pin store is right over there. So if you go get like this particular set is brand new. So, you know, open that and then hopefully you'll get what you want. But if you don't, you can just trade anything in it for like almost anything with anyone here because everyone wants to complete that set.
Right.
You know, and he's like, yeah. and then this one will come with like six pins and and you could probably trade everything, anything in it for anyone here. And it was like, okay. That was a really good tip because yes. then you just go across the street and we bought like two of those little packs. So one was like characters holding like fans or something like the, you know, Chinese fans you might like fan yourself with.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. One of, and that like came with two and there was like a 1 in 10 chance at Pluto or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, worst case scenario, like best case scenario, we just pull the Pluto right here. But worst case, we just walk over there and trade out
for two Plutos.
Yeah. Trade out for like two, maybe like more top dollar Pluto pins or whatever. So like we opened that one and I'm like, Beth is filming it again. And I'm like, all right, so hopefully we'll get the Pluto here. And, you know, I've been told Stitch or Pooh is the other good one. So I was trying to give my, you know, like hedge a little for the sake of like, I probably won't pull what I want.
Right.
Sure enough though, opened the first one. It was the Pluto pin.
Amazing.
I could not believe it. I was like 2 for 2 on random pulls. That was unbelievable. I was having a day.
You were having a day.
Having a good day there. Yeah. And then the other one I got was like the Minnie Mouse. Then we opened like the other one, which was just like a bunch of Munchling. I didn't know what they were. I was like, these are vaguely Disney characters that look like food. Cool.
Sure.
But the people across at the pin traders all knew what they were and they were very excited about them.
Yes.
So at that point, then we just sort of like walked down the line or like, oh, would you do this? And they're like, yeah, give me that. And, you know, I traded up. And I think at the end of the day, I think I netted like 13 new Pluto pins.
I am blown away yeah. at how successful you yeah. are every time at doing this. I think in the beginning there was that piece of me that was like, it's all so new.
Yeah.
So like, you know, at this point, like everything is gold. Like,
yeah.
you know, like every like you don't have any. So like any Pluto pin you find is a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I keep thinking like, okay, like, but we're going to start catching up a little bit. Like
that's what I keep thinking too.
Yeah. And maybe we're just not being, like we're still so new to it. We have like, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg.
Perhaps. And I think Pluto was such like a prominent Disney character that his pin, like it goes deep. His yeah. pin catalog is deep. Yes.
Yeah.
So, but like, you know, it was fun because there were so many different ways to like find the pins. Like, you know, you walk into the park and it's like everything's in like Halloween mode. So yeah. they've got like Halloween specific pins and there's a Pluto one. So, you know, that you can just buy. And then there's usually like three or four like just sort of regular in rotation off the shelf easy ones.
Right.
And thanks to the people who watch the show or whatever, people who've been to the park, they had sent me like three out of the four of those. So I was like, oh, well, look, we already have these. Look at these. We kind of, you know, we already got them.
We're ahead of the curve. Yeah.
But then there was one more and it was like a little angel Pluto and a like devil Pluto and they're sort of staring at each other. So that was like, ooh, I was like, oh, we don't have this one. So that was like two more in one pack.
Wow.
Fantastic. Then we had our two mystery pin pulls. Then other people in line, like when we were doing the meet and greets, like multiple people brought me some pins. So it was yeah. like, we're getting them from like all these different ways. I found at least one off the trader board. I traded with people at the parks. It was just like, It was such a journey.
I know,
getting them all, and it was like, I can't believe how many we netted out of this trip. I was gonna be happy if I got like two, you know.
I desperately just want you to like go to the park with like all of your Pluto pins.
Like, oh yeah,
all on your
truly decked out. Yeah. Like, what's up? Let's go. We're going hard. Yeah,
I like to think about like, you know, like it's not uncommon to wear like, you know, like the big like gold chains or whatever. You know, it's kind of like a thing. It's like, but your sort of like version of that is Pluto pins.
I need to go like a denim jacket or something.
Yeah,
you know, because I don't even think I fit it all on a lanyard at this point.
Not to brag or anything.
But I was like, I'm gonna have to get a new bulletin board at home because like my board is full. You know,
these are the problems we want.
These are the problems. They are, because this will be like the fourth time I've had. I started with like this little mini is such a bad word for this, but a small Mickey shaped one.
Okay, yeah.
And then I upgraded to a bigger Mickey one, and now I've got like a full, like, it's still shaped like Mickey Mouse, but he's like standing, so it's like his full body now.
Okay.
Each one has gotten a little bit bigger, and we keep running out of real estate. So wow. I know I gotta upgrade again now.
Look at that.
Or else just like actually start making decisions about like, these are the lesser ones, you're not on the board anymore.
It can't be.
We got to get them all up there.
The saga continues.
Yay, Pluto pins.
Yay, Pluto pins.
Thank you to anyone who's ever sent me any, by the way, as well. Like, it is a genuine treasure. I really love them. And like, I am always excited to receive them.
Yes. So, yes, indeed. Yeah. But there you go, guys. That was West Coast Tour in a nutshell. I mean, there's plenty of more experiences and wild happenings that transpired.
Absolutely. It's been such a weird experience too, because like, we got home and I was like, I can't remember anything that happened.
I know. You know?
Like,
yes.
So many things happened that nothing happened.
I know. Yeah. And I think even like on our way out there, like, I immediately opened my notes app and I was like, okay, day one, we went to here. We ate this place for lunch. We did this thing. And I was like, this is gonna be so much fun. I'm gonna get home and be able to have like all my memories. And then like by day three, I was like, I'm never gonna be able to keep up with this. Too much stuff is happening. And then I keep trying to think like, what did we do on tour? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like trying to like remember a dream.
Yes,
you know, it's like, it's just like all like leaking out. I know. Your ears.
We were talking about Sacramento, and I was like, what did that stage look like? What was that one?
I know.
What would that?
Yes.
Right.
Like,
you know.
Yes. I mean, and I think it was funny because I was like, when we got out there, we had done like four shows total on the East Coast or whatever. I was like, it's so fun because I can remember every green room, and I'm like, out of four. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and now, yeah, you're starting to be like, what did that one look like? I don't even remember. Yeah. Like, where were we?
Yeah. Where did that happen? And I'm like, should have been documenting better.
It's a melted ice cream cone in my head now. Yeah. So what are you going to do? Anyway, guys, as always, if you have any feedback for the show, send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Thank you to anybody who came and saw us on tour. Also, if you're waiting for us to come to your hometown, don't worry. Like, we do have more tour dates that we are currently lining up behind the scenes with announcements coming soon. So keep your eyes out for that. Also, if you'd like to support the show on Patreon, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.